Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
You give me one shot here on a blue chip stock. Believe me, Kevin. The only problem I'm gonna have is that you didn't buy more. Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back. It's the Wolves of Ball Street, your favorite draft analyst. It's your boys from the NBA Draft Show on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. My name's Corey Tullaba. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, what's popping, bro?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's another opportunity for us to cover. I'm like, Corey, I have to say it, dude. The lighting in your room looks amazing. is the right way to put it.
Yeah.
For our listeners out there, as we mentioned last week, Corey's still getting adjusted to his new house, new office situations happening soon. So please bear with us. But I don't know. I think you look kind of cool, man. It kind of, you know what it looks like, Corey? You look like you're in the corner of like a museum where, you know how like museums will have like a section where they're like playing something on a screen. That's what it looks like right now. Like you're just in a museum recording a podcast right now.
Just a weird like video that loops all day and like the little
exactly. That's exactly what it looks like right now.
Yeah, no, totally. It's the worst. But soon I'm gonna have a sick office. Need to find a desk that my wife approves of. That part of the move has been the most challenging. Finding all of the things that we can both want to purchase for the place. But what a great, awesome process that has been.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. I'm sure the table you get will be great for Gypsy to sit on as well. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Gypsy's getting her own little, you know, bed set up in the office. So she's
perfect.
She's going to be all set. All right. So today we have a fun episode, one that I think is going to be a fun episode to look back on, you know, come May and June, because we're talking about a guy who is going to be high on a lot of draft boards, I think. You know, I think that he's a somewhat divisive prospect. I think that he's somebody that, you know, some people are lower on, some people are higher on. I happen to be on the higher side. He's somebody that we both got to see live and in person at the Hoop Summit. I got to see him live again at the Iverson Classic game. We are talking about Justin Edwards, the Kentucky freshman coming into the year. He's 6'8", scoring wing, and really excited to break down his game with you today, man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited as well. Corey, as you mentioned, he's somebody we got to see in person. And it's funny, like as we've talked about before, I ended up getting to the Hoop Summit, I think like a day or two after you guys, and only caught like the second half of that week. But I remember like the first time I saw Edwards, I was kind of thrown off by his shooting motion. Like that was the first thing. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of weird. And I remember Metcalf immediately correcting me and being like, hey, he can shoot. And I was like, all right, my bad. But then I think he felt bad. He was like, yeah, you're right. It does look kind of funky. But I just, yeah, he was a really fun guy to watch in person. A guy that, Corey, I'm with you. I'm a lot higher on him than I thought. Number one, I'm higher on him than I thought I would be, and also higher on him than the consensus. So I think this is going to be a really fun pod for us to dive into. And as you mentioned, Corey, 6 months from now, who knows what, you know, this pod will sound like. So I'm excited.
Yeah, he is my number one prospect at the moment. So I'm pretty high on him overall. Just, you know, I think it's partly a reflection on the fact that there's no standout guys at the top. Obviously, we covered Alex Sarr last week, and he is certainly going to be a guy who could overtake him. I would completely understand if Sarr is a guy you have ahead of him on the board. Ron Holland is another guy who looked really good in the games that he played. So I think Stephen Castle from UConn is going to be a guy who throws his hat in the ring. There's going to be guys who are definitely, you know, challenging Justin Edwards. But, you know, I like his size. You know, I like his potential outside shooting. I like that he can kind of play on or off the ball. There are a lot of things that we'll break down that I like, but I completely understand and why somebody would have their reservations. I remember being at the Hoop Summit and speaking to an executive, and they said, you know, I was like, who do you like? Who are you not liking? And they were like, Edwards is cool, but I don't know. He might be kind of a tease, you know? So I think that having reservations about his game and how he fits the modern NBA and whether or not he's this guy who could be the guy, or is he just a number two, or is he a number three? Like, I think these are all valid questions as, you know, we get into the breakdown of his game.
I think that's all fair, Corey. I think you have him at one. Doesn't get much higher than that. I have him at two. As you mentioned, I have Sar above him right now. But I just think, like, we talk about the modern NBA. The way that I wrote in my notes is, like, he's like a Gen Z prospect, is what I wrote. Like, I think he's one of these guys that just, you know, grew up watching a lot of Paul George. And you get little hints of that in his game. And I think he's... I think he's going to be awesome. And I think he's exactly what NBA teams are looking for. We'll obviously get into the finer details of his game overall, but this should be a fun look. Like, I think if you're into wings and you're into, like, modern NBA stuff, this will be a good pod to listen to, because that's exactly who Justin Edwards is, I think.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, he has a lot of that modern wing stuff. And in some ways, it feels like maybe he doesn't, but, like, he might. But also maybe he doesn't, you know, so that's what makes him interesting. And, you know, the question marks, he's a little bit older as a prospect. But ultimately, I think his, you know, toolbox is really fun. And as Drew Davis says in the comments, shades of Brandon Miller. And I think a little bit, you know, I think they're I think the way that they were used in certain levels. Or, you know, at certain levels in certain circumstances, like when Brandon Miller was in high school and playing AAU ball, I think that you saw a guy who was, like, used off the ball and kind of played as, like, a power forward wingy guy who would, like, set screens and do this stuff. I think Miller showed some more intriguing, like, pick and roll operation. But, you know, I think at this point, Justin Edwards, I probably would have felt more comfortable in his deep ball. You know, his three ball, you know, like, I feel like that was kind of a shock that Brandon Miller shot it as well as he did coming into the year, because he was, like, a mid-range guy a lot of the times. But ultimately, yeah, I think there are certainly some shades of guys like that. And I think that's what you mean by shades of, like, Gen Z wings.
That you hit the nail on the head, Corey. That's exactly what it is. But overall, dude, I'm excited just because, like, he's... Have we done a wing yet for this class? I'm not sure. So
we did Holland. We did Holland. We did a few, I think we did a few wingy guys. But we did Middleton.
I forgot we did Middleton.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That was, like, before our break. So, but yeah, this is gonna be a good one. I mean, it's fun talking about the guys that we have at the top. So yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So where do you want to start with Edwards?
Do we want to mix it up? No, we're good. We could start with, per usual, shooting, offense, the stuff that you and I like.
All right. we most certainly do. All right, let's start with a little bit of a shooting problem. And I think right away, like, the aspect to me that allows you to be, like, into him as a prospect is, like, this is a guy who can play off ball. And you can count on to, like, knock down, catch and shoot shots. And Kentucky has a lot of guys who are going to want to play with the ball in their hands and, you know, go get, you know, their offense off the bounce. And Justin Edwards has the ability to kind of be like, all right, cool, you guys cook and I'll be here waiting to let it fly when, you know, you guys finally pass the rock.
Corey, I think the point that you just made was something I actually thought we were going to talk about later. And not that, like, you did anything wrong, just, like, the emphasis of the point that you're making, right? Who he's playing with, who's playing next to, those two guards are obviously going to see a lot of the ball. And it made me wonder if, like, you have him at number one, I have him at number two. I'm starting to wonder if his draft stock might fall a little bit because of who he's playing with this season. And I'm just wondering if potentially by the end of his freshman season, he's not able to show off everything that he wants to because of the situation that he's in, which, you know, may harken back to a Devin Booker type of situation from back in the day. But that's like one of the big things that I wrote down here that I was a little bit worried about. Obviously, I like him as the player. And as you mentioned, right, the off-ball stuff playing next to a Dillingham and a Wagner is going to be really exciting for NBA teams to see, right? Like you see him catching in the corner, hitting a nice three right there. But, you know, for us to be talking about him at the very top of the draft, I do wonder if that falls off a little bit just because of the situation that he's in. I hope not, but I feel like that is a possible outcome for him. Oh, Corey, I think you're muted.
Yeah, I think that is completely fair. And a possible outcome where, you know, people start going, oh, well, does he have like the self-creation or does he have this? Is he better off as a, you know, an off-ball guy? And again, those could be legitimate questions. I think, you know, at the lower levels, you know, we've seen him play a lot like that. So I also think it's a role he's going to be comfortable in and he's not going to like struggle adapting to it.
Yeah.
I think that as long as he's knocking down the shots that he's taking off the ball, like because he's 6'8", and he like, I think people will be like, all right, Kentucky bump, like, you know, we can kind of figure out that he's probably going to have a little bit more freedom, you know, in the league. And I think he'll be fine in that regard. But I think that other guys might be able to get, you know, I don't think it'll hurt him, but I think other guys will be able to leapfrog him.
Yeah.
Because of the fact he might not be able to show off the full bag as consistently. But I also think there's a chance that like Dillingham is like not in the rotation at like pretty early on. You know what I mean? Like, but I, you know, harping back to the actual shooting aspect of it,
yeah.
I love this possession because it shows a little bit of like feel and unselfishness. And they're, you know, out, they're leaking out, they're in transition. He's going to run right to the corner, gets it up, gives it up, gets it back, and knocks it down. But like, he's willing to keep the ball moving, you know, and play that kind of team construct that, you know, you were talking about.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I'm actually really excited about his shooting potential. Obviously, beyond my initial first reaction to his shooting form when I first saw it in person, after doing the film dive, it's clear he's going to be, I think he's going to be a really, really good shooter. I actually really loved what you said, Corey, before about him being further along at this stage than Brandon Miller was, because that's so true. And I think like, it's hard for us. I don't know, Corey, I don't want to speak for both of us, but we're both post 30. And I think sometimes our memory at this point in our lives, things can kind of mesh together.
Certainly.
And it's interesting to think back to how we felt about Brandon Miller before the college basketball season started and then during the season and after whatever. I think Edwards definitely is further along with his shooting. I think off the catch for sure. I liked a lot what I saw. There wasn't too much for me to critique personally, but also I'm not the shot doctor here. So Corey, I would love to hear you talk about the mechanics of his jumper and stuff like that. But overall, other than me getting over my own bias of it looking a little funky, after watching it over and over again, I was like, it's totally fine with me.
Yeah. Well, thinking of Miller, I will say, you know, we were like, oh, this kid is going to go top five when he was like rated outside the lottery, because of a lot of reasons that we like Justin Edwards.
Right.
I think with Brandon Miller's shot, we were just like, is he going to shoot it? But like the mid-range stuff is fun, so he'll be able to expand it at a certain point. And we didn't realize it was going to be like right away that he did it. With Edwards, you know, I think this is the area where I don't know we're going to see a ton of. And it's also an area in which I think he has a lot to prove with this off the bounce. Like, I think he's got a little bit of wiggle, like a little bit of shake, but it's also kind of stiff at the same time. So he doesn't create like a ton of separation. Like the moves don't always create enough separation, but like he also is comfortable pulling. I think his footwork is pretty good, but like the way that his knees knock in together makes, you know, the base look a little funky. But I think up top, like, pretty smooth release, high arc, nice follow through, clean. Like I like that aspect of it, but I definitely think that there are going to be times where just the way that his like base can get kind of like narrow might make things look a little funky sometimes, but I think that's stuff he'll figure out.
So Corey, I'm with you, and to kind of piggyback off all that, I'll give you kind of a twofer. Like, I think I'm with you on shooting off the dribble and everything that you said about the wiggle, because from what I saw in high school, him playing for Imhotep, also, every time I'm watching his film and I see Imhotep and I hear Imhotep, I can just think about 1999 and The Mummy and Brendan Fraser, and it was really, really distracting for me. But just watching him shoot and like just shoot off the dribble, I felt like a lot of the shots that he was getting off was, I thought it was kind of like a 60-40 thing, where it was like 60% him executing a strong move and 40% his competition just being pretty damn bad. So I think it's really important, Corey, what you said about him not having the most wiggle and shake, because he clearly doesn't, but also it's not like non-existent either. And so I think a lot of the times it looked better than it was because of the competition he went up against as well. I think 100% what you said about the base, that's actually the only like minor critique that I wrote here, but honestly, like I feel like it's very fixable. And what you said with him at the top, I think, yeah, that looks great. And it looks repeatable is the biggest thing for me. Like whether he was shooting it off the catch or off the dribble was what I wrote in my notes. Like it's just super repeatable. And for that, like that alone gets me really excited about his outlook. But yeah, I just wanted to say, I felt like sometimes the competition he went up against, like he just looked so much bigger and faster and stronger than some of the kids he was going up against. And I felt like that kind of bumped it a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's why I liked a lot of the like EYBL stuff a little bit more. Like, and I love the Mummy callback, because I've been trying to figure out where I was like, like that exact thing. I was like, where have I heard this before? Like outside of this, you know? So that's exactly it. Yeah. But still, yeah, like even with this handle, like this is a nice move. Like he's getting low, he's changing directions, and you know, he's comfortable enough shooting it with a hand in his face. So I think that works. And I think that he showed a little bit of the stuff in the mid-range too. Like I like this one. This is simple coming off a ball screen, and that's something that I kind of want to see more of. But you know, he has that nice little setup there that makes it hard to guard, where he's slowing down and speeding up and changing speeds right here, that little double dribble there to kind of play with the guy, the big defender who's kind of in drop. Like, you don't know, is he going to make the lob pass or is he going to pull up? And he does a good job executing, you know, a simple play, but an important one at you know, the next level.
No, I'm with you. This is a really... this actually was a pretty common move that he went to that was really effective for him. Other times he'd start on the right side, go middle, pull it behind his back, and then hit a nice pull-up. Like his mid-range pull-up stuff was actually a lot more fun than I was expecting it to be, which is where, Corey, I guess kind of goes against like my whole Gen Z point from before, because like I thought he was pretty effective in the mid-range and it looked pretty good. Obviously used his length and size to his advantage against, you know, smaller competition. But yeah, I'm with you. And like, once again, kind of going back to your other point from before, like there is shake and there is wiggle to him, but also sometimes, you know, not like the best. And then just look at the perfect timing. The production value of the Draft Tech NBA pod is unbelievable, Corey. But this is a great example here, right? He's coming off the screen, pump rip through, like all of this, okay, but also isn't like super impressive either. And then kind of clanks the jumper. Corey, I think you're muted again. Sorry.
Keep doing that. No, I kind of like, I really like this possession in general, because it shows like he's able to run off the ball. And then it shows a little bit of that pick and roll stuff. And, you know, he pulls up and he kind of shoots it on the way down there, which is why he maybe is a little short. Like instead of shooting at his peak, maybe he's a little bit worried about the contest coming from behind and the front side. But like, I like the process behind it all. I like the reject. It's something that was like, all right, the process is good. The result wasn't necessarily, but I dug how he went and, you know, made his way through the whole possession. Because, you know, I think that mid-range game is still an important aspect of a shot-making wings game. And I think he has the aspects of it, make or miss. Like there are some times where I think, you know, it's really good process. And there are good flashes here. Like that's a tough shot going ISO off the balance, getting into the body, hitting the little fadeaways. And, you know, we'll play a couple of fadeaway clips in a few possessions or in a few minutes, but because it doesn't always go well. And I think that'll speak to his strength. But I also think that's something that he's already shown that he's, you know, improving on from the clips that we're showing now, which are the EYBL with Team Final.
Yeah. Yeah. The strength stuff is an important piece for sure. That's something he's going to have to work on. But because, like, Corey, honestly, even on this drive, like, it is a nice shot, but also, like, he kind of got bodied here too, right? Like, the strength actually needs to get stronger here. He was kind of, you know, taken off the original line that he was trying to get to. So I'm with you, man. Like, there's some impressive stuff with him. Obviously, that, like, I don't know what his wingspan is, but look at his arms, man. Like, his arms are freakishly long, which is obviously going to be to his advantage. But Corey, we talk about it all the time. Like, elite NBA scorers have the mid-range in their bag. It still rings true, even in 2023, other than, like, you know, the Giants. But even, like, Jokic, you know, Jokic doesn't have a mid-range jump shot. He absolutely does. So I'm with you. It's important, especially as a wing, for him to, if we believe that he can eventually be, like, a number one, number two option, then this mid-range stuff is going to be really important for him.
Yeah, and here you see kind of, like, the strength issue. This is a set that, you know, kind of like a horn set that they – Team Final ran a lot. They get the ball to him on the elbow, and then he kind of faced up his man. And because he's tall and long, he'd often get faced up with bigs. And here, you can't really create separation. He tries to, you know, get it off with the footwork, but instead, he just kind of comes up short with the air ball. But, you know, this is a shot that he feels comfortable in getting to. It's a shot that he clearly worked on. And while we see a miss here with the air ball because he's fading and he's shooting, making something tougher than he really needs to, you know, on this one here, he's little shake, little shimmy with the shoulder stuff, right? And now he goes into the body and creates the separation using that shoulder and that strength. And I think this is what, as he continues to get stronger, this is what it's going to look like, where if he does get into this area, he isn't going to get pushed off his spot. He's going to be the one doing the pushing.
Corey, I just want to say, like, even when we saw him at Nike Hoop Summit, something I really remember is, like, when we went down after a practice, I think, it was a practice, you and I went down to meet some of the guys, and we met Justin Edwards. He was kind of sitting down. He looked pretty tired. But just looking at his frame, I was like, oh, this guy's, like, he's easily going to add some muscle here. I'm not saying he's going to be, like, jacked out of his mind or anything, but I feel like there is, number one, like, an aggression to his game that I enjoyed when I was watching his tape. And then number two, I think there is a physiques stuff that he's just going to improve upon. And whether that's during his time in Kentucky or after in the league, I feel like I'm with you right now where the strength needs a lot of work. But I also believe that we both think that he's eventually going to add more than, like, he's going to add adequate strength where he's going to be okay. So the fact that he's taking attempts like this, I think, is what's most important.
Yeah. And when we went to go talk to the prospects, it's also when we were like, oh, Jarrett McCain is going to be the leader of Duke's team because he's the most charismatic player on the floor. Here, this is what I like about that set and that him operating in the mid-range or out to the elbow extended, even out to the three-point line, that face-up game, same set. And now, instead of settling for the pull-up, he's able to beat his guy off the bounce, take it to the rack. And I think I have some issues with his finishing package. A lot of it going to, you know, the strength. But I also think because he is so tall and long, and he's a lefty, which I think gives him a little bit of an advantage. Again, like, I don't think he's going to be a disastrous finisher by any means, especially because I think a lot of what he's going to do is, like, move off the ball and cut and, you know, get out in transition and stuff like that. But yeah, I really liked how he progressed into this possession here. And I think that's a good segue to kind of get into the rest of his finishing package. And this is, I think, one of the ways that he's going to be used quite often. You know, he's in this, like, Zoom Miami action where he's going to start out in the corner, right? And he's going to come off the little handoff action, get the screen to get downhill, go into a strong hand, kind of takes a wide angle here, but bam, throws it down a little bit of space, you know, gets up.
Yeah, no, it's something I was going to say when you were talking about the finishing, like, when he has the runway, it's exciting stuff, dude. Like, it's really exciting because he's a good athlete. I think he's good at, I didn't think he was a great athlete. I thought he was a rock solid athlete, like a good one. But when you combine that good athleticism with his length, you get some really fun highlight dunks. So there are a lot of plays when he just had a runway and looks fantastic. Against the packed paint, didn't look always as nice, I think. And I think it's a combination of maybe him not having elite pop, vertical pop, and also, as you mentioned, you know, him lacking a little bit of strength. And also, Corey, I'm excited to hear you talk about this, but I thought sometimes like his touch as well was like a little inconsistent for me. But this clip that you're showing here, right here, is actually not too bad. Kind of avoiding the contact, but you know, nice high touch off the backboard. But I wanted to know your thoughts on that. I think you're muted again.
I think you're right about his touch. I think he was a little bit inconsistent in that regard. But I also thought that sometimes on his misses, he like showed a nice little like second jump, and he was like attacking the backboard. The touch definitely has, there are definitely some issues here. But again, you know, he's coming off the zoom action. It allows him to get downhill. So even if he isn't like super bursty, it's still getting ahead of steam. And that was in high school. Now we're going to see it here with Kentucky. Goes in, kind of finishes through contact. You could tell like the touch isn't super soft. It doesn't look like the Kyrie, like high off the glass, like dropping in teardrop style. But gets the job done, and he's getting downhill to his left hand. So I think that that's, you know, something that he can really, you know, work through and execute on, because there's so many ways that he could score out of those actions. Here, you know, we saw him getting downhill a few times, right? Well, now he's going to come off that same action, and instead of getting downhill, we see that pull up again, right? So I think that he's pretty good at recognizing counters. And he's comfortable running different sets and reading the defense, read and react. I really like that. Let's go back to another counter here out of the zoom stuff, right? He's going to, I think I pulled up the wrong clip here.
Rejects the screen.
He's going to reject the screen. Yeah. Let me pull up the right clip. Okay, so he's going to start out in the corner. You know, he's going to come off the little handoff and whoop, rejects the screen, gets downhill, gets to the rim. So I like that he has all the different counters to the different options.
Oh, I think I lost your audio, Corey. Can't hear you anywhere. There it is.
Yeah, I like that he's able to, you know, use counters that are used so often at the next level.
Yeah. I mean this in a good way. It may not sound like I'm going to say this in the best way, but there were times like it reminded me a little bit of RJ Barrett, where RJ, especially in college, like, and also in the NBA early on, even still sometimes. I'm trying to be optimistic because he's my guy and I'm a Knick fan and I want to love RJ so bad, but also there are certain things about RJ that just can't seem to figure out. But, you know, like some of the stuff, right? Like going to the rim, you know, RJ has always been good about getting to the rim. It's just sometimes that touch will really betray him and leaves Knick fans wanting more. But sometimes I felt like Justin Edwards had a little bit to that where he was really creative and smart about, you know, figuring out a way to get to the rim. A lot of different ways, but sometimes I felt like the touch kind of betrayed him. It wasn't as much as RJ's, but I couldn't help but be reminded of RJ's a little bit just because they're both lefties and maybe not like elite athletes. But of course, I think Justin Edwards a little bit bigger, a little bit longer than RJ. So also a little bit more pop than RJ, which I hate saying, but yeah.
Not as strong as RJ. Correct. Not as physical either. Like here, just a really soft take, right? And it like super soft, and soft. It shows him, like you talked about, he looked good as an athlete with all that runway, but like when he kind of has a guy in front, he hasn't yet figured out like, all right, like am I gonna put this guy on a poster,
right?
Like can I be aggressive and putting him on a poster? So, you know, I think that's one of the major differences. I think as far as like how they move and stuff, I think he's like, even though we said he's got like a little wiggle, a little shake, but not like a ton of it.
Yeah.
I still think it's more than RJ had. RJ's got that, you know, he's got that kind of stiffness to his game. And I think that Justin Edwards has a little bit more bend. He's a little bit more flexible overall. But again, the difference is that he's just kind of a soft finisher at times. You know, we'll see it again here. It's just like,
yeah,
and there's that kind of touch. You know, he does go up for the, you know, the follow and the shows off that quick second jump there. But again, the touch is just, you know, a smidge off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and like it's sad because like RJ's more physical, but also RJ has takes like this too sometimes. So it's just depressing. Like, still want to love RJ, still want to believe. But it's tough sometimes. But going back to Justin Edwards, I'm with you, man. I think like this is all gonna get better. Like, I think he's just gonna learn to be more physical. He's gonna get stronger, obviously. And we know, like, sometimes even with these guys, like where they add muscle and they get stronger, and it somehow like even affects like their verticality and their burst and stuff like that too. So I think we're just kind of scratching the surface when it comes to Justin Edwards in terms of his physicality and finishing and all that stuff. But where he is right now, I think is like adequately good. Touch could be better, but also it's not a nightmare or bad by any means. So we're almost like nitpicking at this point, but yeah, it's something he's got to continue to work on.
For sure. What I, you know, I kind of want to blend kind of the shooting and the rim attack finishing here as well. Speaking of how, you know, he'll be used off ball, I kind of like that, you know, teams utilize his size, use him as a screener, and let him pick and pop and step into easy threes, because, you know, obviously you pick and pop, you knock down a couple of threes, like, now what's going to happen, right? Like, teams are going to come close out, they're going to play you for that shot, and it's going to open up opportunities for you to get to the rim. So, you know, we'll pull that up here. Here he is, he comes down, screens, Kwame Evans a little bit late, and allows him. There he is, shows a little bit of vertical pop there, a little bit of bounce, a little extension finish, showing off his length there. So, you know, I think that, you know, the different ways that you could use him offensively as an off-ball guy, and I think mostly that's kind of what we see. And, you know, to be a guy who's considered potentially, you know, at the top of the draft, who's mostly showing those ancillary off-ball skills, I think it's because we see that there is a lot of untapped potential that he also is going to show with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, no, Corey, I agree with you. I think whether it was here in EYBL or even at Emoteb, I felt like they tried to come up with creative ways to use him. Obviously, you've highlighted some of the Zoom Miami like pistol-ish action, whatever. But even in the clip before, some of that 77 action with like the double stagger screens and him kind of just being a pop man. Like, there are different ways that he can be utilized in college that I think will be really interesting. They had him like even doing like ghost screen stuff and popping out for jumpers outside. Like, all that stuff is really good, right? Like, and all stuff that, you know, when you're his size and have his ability, it's because like you can have it both ways, right? If you have him roll into the basket, he's not the strongest guy, but if he's got an open lane, he's going down, he can do some stuff like that. Or if you're running pick and pop, then obviously he's going to be a threat shooting off the catch. So I think where he ends up in the NBA is also going to be really important, right? And how creative they get in utilizing him. And also, like, I also genuinely hope, Corey, that they don't expect him to be a number one option-ish guy from day one, is something I'm really hoping for as well, because I think it's something he can develop into. But using him in creative sets like this, I think, is a really fun way to kind of get him acclimated and going before you kind of give him the reins and ask him to make all the tough decisions for your offense.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be asked to be a number one option right away, because I just think there are so many number one options in the league that it's just hard. But finishing up on his actual finishing, this is in the open court, is where I think you see like that ability to really be an athlete. And I even think he's looked a little bit more athletic here. Again, he looks stronger, he's more filled out. I love that move. Getting the defender to commit out at the 3-point line near his basket here with the little in and out where he can just attack it, get back down to a strong hand, finish with the dunk. I love this. I think that transition this Kentucky team with all of those guys. They're going to be able to play so fast. I think they're going to need to play so fast. And I think, again, like, we just saw him going out, getting after it with the ball in his hands, but he's also a guy that, like, you know, he's going to be able to leak out and fill the wings and get out in transition, sprint out, get ahead of different guys and get easy baskets there as well. So I just think that, you know, he's going to be able to score in all of these different ways. You know, whether it's leaking out in transition or last thing with his finishing, you know, him being a cutter, playing off of the other guys. And I think guys like De'Aaro, who we covered, you know, hopefully DJ Wagner, who shows a little bit of that playmaking chops, like, these are all ways for him to get the easy buckets at the rim without having to create that stuff himself. And, you know, I think that, again, it's really intriguing because you need to be able to play with other good players. And I think that's what he's kind of showing throughout his young career so far.
Yeah. And Corey, especially in a, you know, what people are calling a weaker draft, you know, to get a, you know, a supplementary support ish guy like Edwards, who can do all this stuff, I think is really important. And I wanted to say, like, a vast majority of what he did in high school was transition. I thought he was most comfortable in transition. They were always trying to, you know, full court press and get steals and run and all kinds of stuff. So obviously he did a great job with that. And, you know, him being so much bigger and stronger, maybe not stronger, but so much bigger and longer than everyone in high school, like, he had a ton of transition opportunities. And I'm with you. I think he does a really good job when he's running in transition. He makes him look good. And that, once again, that's when he gets the runway to go and be impressive with his verticality, with, you know, fun dunks.
Yeah. And I think it's funny that we're talking, I'm harping so much on his off-ball skills so much. And I'm like, yeah, he's my number one prospect. Like, this is very much subject to change. I just think that he has some stuff with the ball in his hands that he hasn't gotten to show off as often. And yeah, the fact that he can play without the ball in his hands so effectively already is just a positive sign that it's like, all right, well, even if that stuff is slow to come along, it can get there and he's going to still be able to get on the floor. Now, if you were zagging as to why he wouldn't be the, you know, number one player on a board, it's because he really hasn't shown a ton of playmaking chops.
Yep.
Yeah. Which obviously is like a very important aspect of a guy that you would want to be taking number one overall, like, at least to have some, you know, flashes. And hopefully we see some more of those at Kentucky, even if it's just like making quick decisions, swinging the ball, playing, you know, if he is a screener, playing at the short role and stuff. But where he has been, I think, like, excellent as a passer, because, you know, and it's not necessarily going to lead to a million assists, I think he's really, really good at rebounding and then hitting head.
Okay.
Like, starting the break, getting guys to play with pace, getting to play quick. It's not like a skill that you talk about all the time with wings. But I do think that it's a real strength of his. And I mean, I still think it's an interesting way to, you know, value. It means that he has at least good enough vision to, like, look up ahead and you know, read the court and know where his guys are. So I love the fact that he's unselfish and, you know, is willing to hit the ball ahead. But as we'll break down in the half court and stuff, while he's shown some flashes, it's really not there consistently.
Yeah, Corey, I think having the Kevin Love hit ahead is awesome, right? And to be honest, like, depending on what team he ends up on, like, it might actually become a real weapon, right? I mean, Kevin Love, you know, used it to his advantage for a long time, obviously, in Minnesota. But I did want to say, like, I could not agree with you more. It's the last thing that I had in my notes for Justin Edwards. I wrote, not much to say about his passing other than would like to see more of it, was like the main thing. I just want to see him pass the ball more. I didn't see anything special, but it was a thing where I thought there were moments where I thought he made good reads, where, you know, as like a connector guy, made that extra pass, that one more, you know, that stuff was like, okay. But I also thought he threw some really ugly turnovers. And whether that was, you know, because he was passing out of, like, you know, an emergency break the glass type of situation where he just had to get the ball out, or because, like, I don't know, like, I didn't, there were some passes where he's like throwing it into like a group of like three, four guys standing together. I'm just like, maybe don't do that. Like, that might not have been the best idea there, you know? So I'm with you, man. Like, I think there are moments, but also moments that go the other way as well, for me at least.
Yeah. So at Emotep, he had 57 assists to 46 turnovers, which, you mentioned, like, maybe the competition isn't as strong. You know, it's not like he's playing in the NIBC, right? But in the EYBL, where the competition is a little bit higher, 17 assists to 34 turnovers, right? He has that negative assist turnover ratio. So there's definitely something there to, like, the decision-making having to improve. But, you know, I also think it's kind of hard to even break down this aspect of his game when he's never really been asked to be that creator. But even still, if he is going to be that guy who does play with the ball in his hands and is going to be a scoring threat from the perimeter, you have to make guys pay for all of the gravity and attention, right? So when, you know, you get into the paint, you got to be able to make that cross court kick. And this is a nice pass, right? This is nice. It's unselfish. It's a good read. It's not, you know, a Trae Young, Luka Doncic type pass where he's manipulating the defense. He's reading and reacting. But it is a nice cross court pass. Like, it's on a rope. It's not bad. Like, I think there are some flashes of him having the ability. There's just not enough to definitively say that he has it, where there might be a lack of enough that you're like, he probably doesn't.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that, Corey. I just want to say the guy who shoots it here, number zero, from behind, like, his physique looks a lot like Marcus Sasser. I just feel like it's something we... And then also going back to, like, my very first point from the beginning is, like, you have to wonder what type of opportunities he's going to have in Kentucky to show off any of that. Like, if it's in him, I'm excited for him, but also... don't know how much opportunity he's going to have to show it off. But then also, who knows? Like you said, like, Dillingham might just fall out of the rotation pretty early. Obviously, God forbid, you know, injuries can happen too. But we have to see more of it before we can be like, hey, you can run my team. But then also you make the other point of, like, we have so many number one guys in the league that probably no one's going to be asking him to do that. So he might be okay.
Yeah, I also think it might help that he's going to be playing at Kentucky with a bunch of guys who, like, draw a ton of attention themselves, and that'll allow him to make those kind of more connective reads. I'm not expecting him to make, you know, the weak side hits. And I think when he does show that, I think he likes to play fast. I think he likes to play out of scrambles and in broken situations, you know, and, like, anytime you see him make nice reads like he does here, where he is hitting the weak side, like, it's always in, like, out of these semi-transition, like, secondary break type situations where, you know, the defense isn't always set and there's more room. And I think, you know, more room at the next level. So as long as he's showing that he can make quick decisions, like, I'm not saying that he's going to be a guy who's going to average 4 assists a game on this team, but if he has a positive turnover ratio and just shows, like, some feel and, like, ability to make quick decisions, because I think he is tall enough and has the kind of vision to make these passes. It's just like, all right, go do it consistently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And like, I definitely 100% agree with what you said about him, like, making quick decisions. Also, I say 100% agree a lot, and yet I never, like, 96% agree, which is dumb. But I just want to say, like, I think, like, he does a good job of these quick decisions for sure. It's just also he has to refine it, because some of his quick decisions are bad decisions. And so the more refining of that we see, the better it'll be. But overall, like, his passing wasn't so bad that it hurt his stock with me. I still really like a lot or all of his game, pretty much.
And part of this process is development and showing things off that you didn't get a chance to show off a ton of at previous levels. So hopefully he shows more of that off. Let's move over and go over his defense now, because I think they're, you know, he's going to be an interesting defensive prospect. I know a lot of people think he, you know, love him as a defender. I know, like, Metcalf and Rucker were raving about his defensive prowess. I think there are moments where he certainly shows that kind of potential. I think there are some moments where he doesn't. I think when he really wants to get into it and defend, he could be pretty impressive. Like, on this possession here, like, when you could tell when he's into it, because he'll get low in his stance. Yep. And, like, you could tell, like, he's taking this possession personally, right? Because he does have such great athletic tools. Like, defensively, I think he's, like, super flexible and, like, good at flipping his hips, and then he's got such good reaction time and using his length to be able to affect shots. So the tools are there. I'm interested to hear your take on his defensive performance. So
I just think it's hilarious, Corey, just because when it comes to prospects of this age, right, like 21 and under,
are you muted?
Sorry, the cord from my mic.
Oh, this tricky thing. Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. So I was saying, prospects of this age, we know when they're defending because they're either standing up straight with their arms on their sides or they're in a good stance, and there's kind of like no in between. But I'm with you with Edwards, man. Like when he's locked in and he wants it, like clearly you can see that he has almost everything you're looking for in terms of like a modern NBA wing defender. This is a great clip here, right? Look at his footwork, right? Switching hips, as you mentioned, right? Using his length to recover and to contest the shot. Like there's so much to like about it, but also how old is he? 19, right? Like it's not always there every single time. But then again, like which 19-year-old has it all the time? But then also, I don't know, like there, Corey, I'm with you. Like there were some moments where I was just like, cool. So you just don't care. Like you're just going to pass, you know? So I'm with all that, but when he's locked in, like, look at that one. Like even the way that like he ran up on him like that.
Yeah.
Even though it's muted, you can hear his sneakers, squeaking on the floor. That's a good possession there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think maybe what you're talking about is a little bit why NBA executives might be like, oh, he might be a tease. Cause it's like, all right, what version are we getting? You know, are we getting a good version all the time? I think looking at certain possessions like here, right? He's not as locked in, you know, down in his stance as he usually is. He reaches, but like he also has those good recovery tools because of his physical gifts that, like, even when he is a little bit inconsistent on a possession here, like he's going to reach and man's going to get him on his hips. He still has the ability to kind of jack up possessions like that. So it's like, you know, that's a good skill too. It's definitely something you got to look at and be like, all right, like that's pretty nice. Right. Yeah. I think one of the major issues though, and this goes back to his strength, right, is like, yeah. I think guys and he's going to be somebody who's probably going to play up and play some four because of his size, because I think he'll be a mismatch there offensively. Like Imani Hansberry here just backs him down so easily with no, you know, really there's no fight in Edwards to kind of push him off his spot. He's just giving up ground each dribble that Hansberry takes, and he's just getting an easy, easy look at 2 feet from the rim because of it.
That's a classic mouse in the house right there with Imani Hansberry, unfortunately. But Corey, I'm with you, man. Like the strength has to be there. Like it has to come. Although I think we both believe that it will. So that's good for him. But something that I wrote in my notes, I felt like he uses his length. He used his length and anticipation well in the passing lanes. But I also thought he was a bit of a gambler, which is something that I think he needs to work on. Also against you know, when he was playing for Imhotep, playing against weaker competition, I think like he was just really looking to just poke balls out all the time and get running. You know, some of the fundamentals kind of went out the window at times with him, and he's just kind of running around trying to poke balls all over it. That sounds weird. But you know, a little bit of that. But in Kentucky, higher level of play, if he's locked in and being aggressive and using his length and reactions and all that stuff, then I think obviously he's a really, really interesting, if not most exciting, perimeter defender in this class.
And one of the things that I think he needs to do too is I think he needs to embrace physicality more often. We saw how he struggles finishing. Right now he's checking Caleb Glenn, who I think is going to be a sleeper, a guy that people should get familiar with, headed to Louisville. Kind of reminds you a little bit of like Cam Whitmore, Isaac Okoro a little bit, like that type of player. And he's really strong. Like I stood next to this dude at one point last year and I was like, oh, this 17-year-old kid is he's 28 years old. Like he looks like he's 28 years old.
He looks like Miles Bridges there.
Yeah, he's just ridiculously strong, great athlete, right? And Justin Edwards is like, you know, he's going to guard him. He can't just let him dictate the possession without bodying him up and getting into him and playing chest to chest with him there and like trying to bump him off the spot a little bit. Like I think he needs to make people more uncomfortable with his chest. and get into their bodies. And I think that's an area in which he doesn't always do, because he does rely on that length a lot of times, because he'd rather go and try to tip it or get a good contest, which is great. But I think he's got to work on bodying people up and bumping them off their spot so they don't, you know, they're not able to dictate the possession as often.
I mean, like we said, Corey, it kind of goes both ways, whether it's on offense or on defense. I think there is a kind of like an aversion to physicality that he's got to work on, that he's got to kind of figure out. But you know, like we said, hopefully with the strength coming and, like, you know, when you get stronger, you kind of get more confident. We see it all the time. Dudes in the gym, they spend a couple months, hit the bench, and then, you know, they start raising their voices at people and things change. You know what I'm saying? But it has to come, but it has to change for him to actually be like an effective defender. Because like you said, Corey, modern NBA, he's a guy that's going to be asked to guard fours. He can't avoid it. It's going to happen, considering him being like, what, 6'7", 6'8" with his wingspan. NBA teams are going to expect that of him. Obviously not to guard fours all the time, but he's got to be able to hold his own at least a little bit. And right now he's kind of far from that. But like you're kind of showcasing here, the one thing that he does have that I really did enjoy was the length, man. Like, I think the length is a real advantage that he has, that with him increasing in strength and physicality, that length will really help him out a lot against, you know, bigger guys.
And what this is how he needs to guard those bigger guys on this possession, where this is Cam Boozer. Obviously, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably heard the name Cam Boozer before, right? Son of Carlos Boozer, one of the, you know, premier prospects in high school basketball, and strong as a bull. And he's got post position on the block, and Justin Edwards is getting low here, right? He's making sure that he can body up. He's not going to go flying. And that's what allows him to be able to contest this shot and use his length to get this block, because he is fighting. He is being physical. He's got his forearm in the back of Cam Boozer. He's not giving up ground. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I want to see more often. Like, when this dude shows up, it's like, all right, well, so you're telling me that you can kind of bang with somebody who's strong enough and use your length to an advantage. And then on the other end, you're going to be able to be like quicker than these guys. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see. So, you know, he certainly has the potential and the tools to do it. I can't wait to see.
Oh, Corey, I think you got muted again, but I will say, like, it really is. We started off with it, right? It's the consistency piece. When he can consistently show this type of effort, consistently get into a stance, consistently body people up and, you know, compete on this side of the floor, then we're talking about a really, really good defensive prospect. Now, the issue is that consistency. Will that come? And I think it will. I genuinely think it will. I think I don't want to be the guy that only blames like competition and where he's at. I was accused of that this week on Twitter, right? Jokes on you, buddy. But I just feel like it's a thing where, you know, it's an age thing, a competition thing. And also, like, what Corey and I, both of us were saying right now, none of this is definitive. All of this is where you're pointing out things that we think he needs to work on and that he could eventually change and eventually be really, really good at. But where he's at right now, at this stage of his development, is it's just not consistent enough. Corey, you're muted again.
I keep got some audio issues today. I do think he's really going to get there. And, you know, I think that he has all of the skills and the tools that, with the physical development that I think we've already seen so far and how he looked at the Global Jam games for Kentucky, I think that, you know, he's going to be a really fun prospect to watch, monitor. And like, if he shoots the ball and shows a little bit of pick and roll creation and then all of the off ball stuff, and then the defense comes together. I also think that, you know, we talked about how, because he's playing with certain guys, maybe his stock might take a hit. I think there's a real path where people start going, oh, we overthought this. Like, this kid's a 6'8" wing that could do all of these things. You know, like, yeah, that kid's going to be an NBA player. So I do think there's a safety to him in that vein as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just, you know, kind of going back to what I said earlier, there, you know, like, once we start getting into the defense and the shooting and, you know, him improving on the on-ball stuff, it's hard to not think of a guy like Paul George. It's hard to not be like, hey, one day maybe he could be like a lefty version of that and be that type of dynamic, you know, high-powered two-way wing that can run your team at times and just be like a great running mate. And Paul George has said himself that he sees himself as like a number two type of guy. And maybe that's just an Edwards ceiling where he becomes an elite number two next to somebody doing all the things that we kind of outlined today.
All right. So, you know, since we went old school and we decided to cover one prospect today, I figure that this would be a good opportunity to let you get back in the saddle and sell me this pen on Justin Edwards. Our first sell me this pen of the 2024 NBA draft cycle, since No Ceilings has officially been back to 5 days a week on the website and podcast feed. So without further ado, everyone, Albert, Garbage Time Gim, sell me this pen on Justin Edwards.
As the great Will Ferrell once said on Eastbound and Down, I could feel it in my plums, is kind of what I feel with Justin Edwards, man. I feel like he's a guy who has everything that you're looking for. If you were to write down his skill set, you were to write down his abilities on a piece of paper, it's a really long list of attributes and talent that he has. And so all we're looking for now is for him to kind of bring it all together and do it a little bit more consistently, is kind of what we're looking for right now. But beyond just what we can list about him, what he's shown has been awesome to watch. What we think he's going to show in Kentucky is going to be really fun to watch. And he's a, as Corey just mentioned before, he's going to be a guy that teams are going to be looking at themselves wondering, are we overthinking him? You kind of just have to go with your gut with a guy like this. He has everything that you're looking for, so don't overthink it. Grab this guy early on in the draft and have him be a foundational piece for your franchise is what I would say for Justin Edwards.
I think
so. There you are.
Yeah. I just can't wait to see this kid play college basketball, man. We got the little appetizer at the Global Jam for the Kentucky squad. You know, I think that even without, you know, Aaron Bradshaw, and now with, you know, the insertion of the big kid, whose name I won't be able to pronounce until I hear it on a broadcast a few times. They have such a weird but interesting squad with so many moving pieces. And I just can't wait to see how Cal utilizes them, because I kind of really enjoyed how they looked and played together in the Global Jam. And if that's any indication of what the regular season is going to look like, then this is going to be an exciting team and an exciting opportunity for Justin Edwards to show why he could potentially be, you know, a top five pick, top three pick, maybe even the number one pick if all things go right. So it's going to be really fun, man.
Yeah, no, I agree, Corey. And also you kind of threw me on the spot with the sell me this pen, but it's in my blood, man. Can do it anytime you ask. That was a lot of fun. We haven't done a single prospect episode like this in a while, but I will say, Corey, I think it was a lot of wisdom on your end, because Justin Edwards is a prospect that I think deserved a solo episode with him potentially being a top three guy. I think it makes sense. And he's a lot of fun, dude. I just can't wait to see it. And as you know, playing next to even a guy like Fierro that we've done a pod on, like, I think that's a really fun combo as well. But this was fun.
Yeah. All right. Albert, tell the people around the World Wide Web where they can find you.
On the internet, so you can find me at GTGNBA is my Instagram handle. Whoops, I went Instagram first today. On Twitter, you can find me at Alberto Gim is where you can find me at. That's pretty much, I mean, I don't know where else you could find me on the internet. I don't know, LinkedIn, not sure. I'm dropping a new piece for the website this week, which I haven't done in forever. I haven't written in forever, but I was really excited to do that, writing about Kwame Evans Jr. of Oregon, a guy that is a really interesting prospect, a guy that I was super high on and then I wasn't so high on, and then I'm kind of back in the middle, and then I got some intel talking to people, which kind of got me feeling this way and another. But overall, where I'm at with him is I think he's going to be a good player, but it all depends on him, which is kind of like the thesis of my piece is that, like, he can have every skill under the sun, but whether it gets put together or not, that's on Kwame Evans Jr. So please check that out this week at No Ceilings NBA is where you can find that.
And we also did a episode where we covered his game as well. So you can listen to that on the No Ceilings podcast feed if you want a little companion podcast to listen. I also wrote I wrote one other piece on Scotty Middleton, I think about a month ago. So this is my second piece of the offseason. And I wrote it on Chase Ross, who is a sophomore from Marquette. And he's a guy who really caught my attention in the Big East tournament last year when I went to see him live. He popped in a big way. I think he's a potential breakout sleeper candidate. You know, he played inconsistent minutes last year for a really good team. And I think that this could be a guy who pops up and goes from averaging 4 points a game to people going, oh, wait, should this guy be a first rounder now? You know, like, I'm not saying that he's going to be the Kobe Bufkin of this draft, because I think Kobe Bufkin had a little bit more opportunity to play with the ball in his hands, given his situation last year. But I think that he's a guy that could be, you know, a top 20 pick potentially. And I think he's really exciting and fun. And I wrote all about why I think he could potentially break out for NoCeilingsNBA.com. So you can check that out. It's already out. Albert's piece will be right next to it. So that's going to be fun when that drops on Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A lot of fun stuff happening over on the No Ceilings website, on the No Ceilings socials. Make sure you follow at No Ceilings NBA on all of the socials. Make sure you like and subscribe on the YouTube. Thank you for watching. For everybody who's been watching live, make sure that you smash the like button, subscribe, all of that good stuff on the podcast feed. Rate, review, 5-star. All of that really helps us as we move towards world domination in the scouting space. So appreciate everybody for rocking with us. And until next time, your boys are out. Peace.